So I guess it was a couple of months ago. I have stopped counting, so I'm not sure precisely how long it was ago. But my mother called and wanted to inform me that she and my father happened to have a Sunday where they've decided that they were going to come on up for a quick visit. And it was a surprise to me. Excuse me. It was a Friday, and they were arriving on a Saturday afternoon so that they could come to church on Sunday. And as you can imagine, as I sat with the phone in my hand and purveying my house, that there was a little bit of panic that I was feeling. Honestly, I hadn't vacuumed in 3 weeks. I was behind in my laundry. There was junk mail stacked up on the table next to the stack of the bills that were paid and yet to be paid. I had several gym bags stacked around in my living room area. The table that sits in front of the couch and the TV had empty Gatorade bottles on it. Yeah, I won't tell you about the kitchen. It was bad. And the thing is I was busy too. It's not like it was a weekend where I had nothing going on Friday night and nothing happening on Saturday and that my sermon was all done and, you know, I was busy. But, you know, somehow, in between that phone call and when they arrived, I managed to at least make the house acceptable to receive my parents. But of course, I was exhausted too by the time they came. And again, being honest, if I had simply done what I am supposed to do weekly, that is things like laundry, vacuum and mopping, quick once over in the bathrooms, you know, wiping off the counters in the kitchen and getting my dishes done and making sure that the trash and the recycling were all out and had been to the grocery store, then the surprise visit might not have been quite the stress-inducing event that it was. You guys know what I'm talking about? But I also have to be honest, because being ready for surprise visits simply is not the highest thing on my list of priorities. And in this morning's gospel message, Jesus tells a story about priorities, a story about being prepared. And he tells a story about 10 bridesmaids. And in accordance with first century Palestinian tradition, these 10 virgins that he talks about are most likely, they've been chosen and they are waiting at the place where the wedding is going to occur. And each one of them has an oil lamp. And everybody who is listening to Jesus' story would know exactly what he was talking about. And these bridesmaids, the single most important job that they had was to throw a bachelorette party. Yeah, no. That's not it. Their single most important job is to take their lamps and provide a procession of light guiding the wedding party into where the wedding was going to take place. They were to guide and to greet the ceremony and the celebration. And you need to remember during this time, there's no electricity and there's no street lamps. Their oil lamps are very important to the carrying out of the celebration, to the carrying out of the wedding ceremony. But then Jesus gives us a little more information about these 10 bridesmaids. Jesus tells us that 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. See, 5 bridesmaids have brought their oil lamp, and as part of their little wedding satchel and preparations, they've also brought some extra oil. And they've prepared, but then they're prepared for anything that can happen. And then the other five bridesmaids, they've brought their lamps, probably filled with oil, but they didn't bring anything extra with them. They've prepared only according to the expected schedule and protocol. Just enough oil to cover the groom being on time. However, now, this isn't the case when we have weddings here and Wanda and I are making sure things happen right on time. But occasionally, someone is late. And in these days, it was not uncommon for a bridegroom to be delayed. Now, often the reason why they were late is there were last-minute negotiations between the groom and the bride's relatives over the gifts that were being exchanged. But the text doesn't explain the delay. He gives no reason for why the bridegroom is delayed here. But it could have been any number of reasons, and it was common, and everybody would have nodded as they listened to Jesus tell the story and say, oh yes, we've been to weddings where the wedding started 5-6 hours after it was supposed to. And the reality is that the reason for the delay should not have been the concern of the bridesmaids. They had one responsibility, to have their lamps and to have them lit. So the sun goes down and it gets dark and the watch begins. And since people in this day usually went to bed and went to sleep shortly after the sun went down, you can imagine that all 10 bridesmaids get a little sleepy and they've lit their lamps and they fall asleep. And it's at midnight that they hear the cry. The bridegroom is on his way. And so the 10 bridesmaids get up and they scramble around the room to prepare themselves and to prepare their lamps and to prepare to receive the groom and his entourage. And the wise bridesmaids fill their lamps with the extra oil they brought and trim them up to be bright. And the foolish five look at how much oil is in their lamp and they realize they don't have enough oil. And they turn to the other five and they say, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. But the wise five, they know that they can't do that. They can't risk any of their lamps going out and ruining the celebration. So they refuse. And the foolish girls run off and somewhere manage to find a place that's open at midnight where they can get oil. But by the time they get back, the bridegroom has come. And the procession is headed inside for the ceremony. They've headed inside to have the party. And when the foolish ones arrive, they pound on the door, but the door is shut, and they aren't allowed in. And Jesus concludes the story with the simple words, therefore keep watch. Could also be translated as therefore be prepared, because you do not know the day or the hour. And it's a harsh word. I mean, five are left out, and those five are not let in. And I wish there was something I could say that would soften that word, but here it is in Scripture. And we have to make sense of it in our lives. Especially as we do our best to follow Jesus faithfully. And the point is clear. Jesus is telling his disciples to live your lives in ways so that you will be ready for the final judgment. Jesus has been talking about the coming judgment and the sudden inbreak of God's kingdom. And he's also talking about that he's going to go away, but he's going to come back. And he's looking at them and saying, live your lives as if each day could be your last. Be ready. Be responsible. Show that you take living for God seriously. It's a clear point. But the question that arises out of the point is, how do we do it? How do we do that? The first of all, in the parable, the bridesmaids who are prepared, the wise ones, are the ones who carry out their roles in the wedding faithfully. I'm going to repeat that. The wise bridesmaids are the ones who carry out their roles for the wedding ceremony and celebration faithfully. The bridesmaids that are branded as foolish have had a level of expectation, a level to which they are willing to honor the groom and the bride, and that is one lamp. They've brought one lamp, and if they don't come according to schedule, well, we'll just deal with that when we cross that bridge. But what if we were to look at the parable by asking this question? Who actually honored the groom and the bride? Of the 10 bridesmaids, who truly honored the bride and the groom? You see, if all the lamps had gone out, the groom would have been dishonored and shamed throughout the village. If all the lamps had gone out, they'd have had to stall the ceremony. If all the lamps had gone out, the party would have been held off because of darkness. If it was your wedding, how would you feel? And the second point, they each had a lamp. And the lamp gives off light. But the lamp needs to be kept full of oil, or else it'll stop giving off light. And in other words, we have to keep ourselves filled with some sort of spiritual fuel so that we can keep the Christ light shining around us until Christ returns. You've heard that song, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep it burning, burning, burning." It was a song I sang when I was growing up in Vacation Bible School, and if you don't know it, well, it's not that great a song. It's kind of corny. And I just remember this guy with a big mustache and a banjo playing it and trying to get us kids to sing it. But that idea of we are lights, we are lamps that are put up on a stand so that we can shine, so we can spread the Christ light around us. But we got to keep the tank full. And the things that keep us full, the things that keep that light shining, the things that keep us from burning out are things like worship, being together to praise God, to be reminded of God's presence, to be reminded that we're not alone, to be held accountable with one another. Bible study, gathering and interacting with God's word for instruction and correction and inspiration. Prayer, that regular connecting up with God, to speak and to listen, to be stilled, and to sink into the presence of God. Sharing our resources and gifts. Being together, we can do so much more than just on our own. And somehow in being together, we're often reminded of the way that God works through others and the way that God is present. And lastly, service to others in the name of Christ. Reaching out, helping out those in need. Serving justice, works of mercy and compassion. These are the ways we keep our tanks full This is the way we keep ourselves full of spiritual oil. And the last thing, when we think about this parable, might be the most sobering thing. And that is that realizing that we don't control God. The bridesmaids do not have control over what the bride and the groom do. They have no control over how long it's going to be before they actually arrive. And the truth is, in the same way, we do not have control over God. We cannot make God show up when we want God to. We have no way of knowing when Christ is going to return. And most of us understand this. Most of us get that we have no control or no say over Christ's return. But the reality is that Christ's return isn't the only way that we meet our Maker. The other sobering side of this is that we don't know the day that we will die. And so that question suddenly becomes much more powerful. And it becomes that question of, are you living in a way that if you discovered your days were few, that you wouldn't have to make any major changes? If Jesus were to come back tomorrow, would you be ready for the ways of the kingdom? Or would you feel like, oh my gosh, if I only had a few more days to have at least crammed for the final exam? And it's a sobering question because today is All Saints' Day, a day that we remember the names of the honored dead. And officially in the United Methodist tradition, this means that we are going to read the names of the official full members of our congregation, of our church, who passed away during this year. And as part of our United Methodist Church of Thousand Oaks tradition, we will also have a single candle for those who were not members of the church, but were close to our hearts and strong in the Christian faith, who inspired us, who helped us, who loved us, who taught us. We speak their names and we remember their lives as examples of those who live their lives ready to meet Jesus. These are the saints. These are the ones who have kept their lamps filled. These are the ones who shone their lights and taught us to do the same. This is a day of remembrance. And as we remember them, it's also important to remember their secret. And the secret is this, that the kingdom of God is present. The kingdom of God is present. The party has started. Our lights are shining. And you see, if we can remember this truth, and if we can live in the kingdom now, we will be ready. And we will not be surprised when the kingdom arrives. Whether that be years down the line, or whether that be sometime later today. The point is to be prepared. Always be prepared. For the kingdom of God is at hand, and the kingdom of God will come and be fulfilled. May we be ready to greet Christ. May we live our lives ready and prepared. Amen.